Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Have you ever looked at your city and been discouraged by what you see? Have you ever wanted to just leave the problems that seem unable to be fixed and start over somewhere new? On this episode of the Human Kindness at Work podcast, you're going to meet someone who worked through those feelings and chose to stay and bring the change that he wanted to see. Wes Simmons is a husband, a father of four, and a former football player for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats, who calls St. Joseph, Missouri home. He's also the president and CEO of the 3D Institute, an organization that provides a framework for professional coaching. And because his life isn't full enough, he's also the founder of the Joseph Company, which we'll hear about today. Wes is a natural leader, a man of integrity, and a changemaker. Welcome to the podcast, Wes Simmons.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you. Wes, we're going to jump right into your story. In about 2019, before you started the Joseph Company, can you paint us a little picture of what life in St. Joseph was like?
Yeah, I lived here in 2004. And by and large, this was a community, you mentioned in my intro that I was a Northwest Missouri State Bearcat. And if you know anything of the MIAA conference in here in Mid-America, you know that Bearcats and Griffins really aren't compatible. So this was like the one city on earth I said I'd never live in. But then I fell in love with a woman that's from here. And lo and behold, 2004, here I am. And so I always kind of felt like I was passing through, to be honest. Never felt like this was home. And that feeling just kind of grew over the next 15 years or so, because even though this city was deemed the all-American city in 1997, and rightfully so, it is a great community. But we had been on a downward trajectory. We had schools that were struggling. There had been some scandals in the past, a lot of mistrust in the community, a lot of negativity. I think a lot of that has to do with that negative self-image that we have as a community. No positive, collective history that we're real proud of, I would say. It was kind of the feeling I had. And quite frankly, I was kind of fed up with it. I was ready to kind of jump ship. There's a lot of other communities that have embraced the work that I'm in fully, and I want my kids to be a part of that. So my thinking was, let's get out of here, Amy. Let's go south. Let's go to a community that's really embraced the work we're doing so we can benefit from it.
Yeah, I was one of those people, Wes. I remember when we moved from St. Joseph down farther south in the Kansas City area, I was one of those friends that said, hey, you guys should look a little bit more south. There's like great opportunities for your kids, you know, the competitive sports, all this stuff that you guys are into and love. And I know that at one point you were considering moving out of St. Joseph, but why did you stay?
Well, my wife, as I mentioned, is from here. And so her heart's here, you know, and her family's here. And even though we would, you know, gripe about it, about different things in town and in the community, I think she sensed a little bit more seriousness in my tone in that summer of 2019. We were coming up on a transition year where three of my four kids would be making the next step to a new school anyway. And I thought, all right, that's the perfect time to go. Put the house on the market in the spring. And she wasn't resistant to that necessarily, but she did challenge me. And she said, you know, Wes, you have something that you know and I know could help our community, but you haven't even tried. Which was mostly true. I mean, I had tried some things in the past, but it had been years and we'd kind of grown up as a company and we'd kind of figured out really who we are and what we can do. And I had not made any serious attempt in at least a decade, I would say. And so she was right. And that challenged me. And, you know, I often joke, you know, you married right, because when your significant other will tell you exactly what you don't want to hear,
yes,
right where you, right when you need to hear it.
I was going to say, she is a good, good woman. And yes, I 100% agree with that. So fast forward a little bit and you started the Joseph Company. And I'm assuming that came out of this desire to stay and bring the change, to make that effort to make St. Joseph the community that you want it to be. So what is the Joseph Company and why did you start it?
The aha came, just backing it up a little bit, there was a moment in time that became the pivotal moment. where I decided, you know what, let's go all in. Let's take our risk here in St. Joseph. And that was an experience we had after Amy's dad's truck got stolen and it'd been missing for a couple of weeks. And we went looking around town because there, you know, a lot of the crime here is petty crime. It's not a real bad place. It gets a bad rap maybe, but the violent crime isn't out of this world or anything. But there were a lot of kids stealing cars and some of that. So they would steal a car and they'd ditch it. And so we had hope that maybe we could find it. So we went looking for it. And there was a fleeting moment where there was this young girl and she's out in front of this house. It looked like it was kind of falling in on itself. It's really dilapidated. It looked like a meth lab, a perfect candidate for such. And, you know, there's kind of the shady looking crew of dudes down on the corner. And there's this young 3-year-old girl and she's out in her yard and the grass hadn't been cut and the windows are broken and she's in diapers. And I just kind of drove by, we locked eyes. It was a fleeting moment, but it was one that just got mapped on my brain. And that night when I came home, I told Amy, I said, you know, all right. I said, we're all in, but let's really push our chips in and try something. And so we began to organize leaders. And what came out of that was a desire to take the training that we have been developing for over 10 years now, a training called 3D, and implement that into a community to give us a common leadership framework. You know, whether you're leading in a classroom, in a boardroom, or where we come from, a sports field or in a locker room, or heck, it even applies if you're a grandma or grandpa or a mother and a father at your own house in your living room. Whatever room you're in, if you're in a leadership role, there's an undeniable coaching element to that. Mm. And my experience always was having great coaches that not only could produce excellence, you know, in the product of performance, but they created a culture that was life-giving that really was the driver of all of that. So what the Joseph Company became was an initiative to gather the leaders from, we call them the seven sectors, the arts, athletics, business, education, healthcare, government, and nonprofit. And we've gathered them and say, is there a common leadership framework that we can work from so that collectively we're meeting the developmental needs of everybody in our community, starting with that little girl in that age and younger, really even to the grave. You know, it's kind of a cradle to the grave leadership framework that allows us to do something together in an effort to try to positively impact the culture.
Hmm. When you first started, what was the response of those seven sectors that you reached out to?
The initial response was, I think, curiosity. Hmm. You know, no, I don't think that anything like this has ever been tried around here. I don't know if it's ever been tried anywhere. I think we're probably the first city to really try to do this that at least I know of. Actually, that's not true. There are a lot of organizations out there. I think of like Communities of Excellence, for example, that work, they work with communities to bring leadership together around a common leadership framework. So that's not unique. It was just unique to me. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. It was more of this response to what I felt like was a call in my life to try to make the big time where I'm at. You know, that's a favorite coachism that I picked up along the way. Make the big time where you're at. It's a mindset. It's not about a destination. It's not about a title. It's not about how many zeros are after your paycheck. The big time is a mindset and you make the big time right where you're at. And so when we started kind of coming with that kind of message to say, let's not focus on what we don't have on a community as a community, but let's focus on what we do have as a community because there's an incredible history here. There's great people here. Mm-hmm. But we've got to do something to bring us all together with a common and shared preferred vision of the future to start pursuing. And I think because, you know, there is a hunger for something like that, it was a curiosity that drew people. But then I think our message resonated and we kind of grew from there.
Hmm. So what does that look like? What does the Joseph Company look like practically?
In a practical sense, the training that I referenced is actually from my real job, the 3D Institute. You mentioned that in my opener. That's a company that's our headquarters are technically Orlando, but our epicenter is here. This is where I live. I'm the CEO. And from here, we create training and resources. And we've really been in the world of sport for years. But through this initiative, we had a group of people in the business community and in the educational world that said, we want you to take that training and contextualize that for all three industries, you know, for basically any industry, all parts of the community. And so when we set out to do that, the first really 3 years was building to build and contextualize what the best practices are from the world of sport coaching, and then adapting those and making that applicable, again, in a classroom, a locker room, a boardroom, or a living room. That took a lot of time. But now that we've got that all built and we actually have something for everybody in the community, what we do practically is we meet once a month and we have teams. We form teams. Right now we have 28 teams going through a 9-month leadership series, and a team consists of a table of eight. So we recruit table captains, team captains. They recruit their own table of eight, and it's their team. They can do it as an internal leadership experience for them and their C-suite, if it's a company, or mm-hmm. them and their board, if they're a nonprofit. But we also have people, for example, I can think of one arts leader who is intentional about going out and grabbing one leader from all seven sectors. You know, they have somebody from the arts and athletics, business, education, healthcare, government, and nonprofit, and then hers the team captain. That's their eight. As an intentional effort to kind of cross-pollinate and build relationships across the silos of our community. Mm-hmm. And I guess that'd be a good analogy, is that we have a community that has great people and a lot of passion and purpose, but we tend to operate in silos. Mm. We're trying to turn those into pillars of something bigger. But it starts with us coming together once a month and not just going through training, but really allowing the training to go through us. Mm-hmm. And so that takes time, that takes processing, collaboration. The magic happens in the circles, but the training typically takes place as pre-work. We give them assigned modules to kind of give them the training principles of the 3D framework. When we come together, we unpack that and process that together.
So there is a level of universal structure, but then there is this organicness about it too within those tables. Is that right?
Absolutely. So a little more on what 3D is. It's, we say it like this: 3D is a framework for coaching on a foundation of purpose. And mm-hmm. what we mean by that is, if you're going to coach others or lead others well, you need to understand all aspects of who they are. You don't have to be an expert in all three dimensions, but a good leader is going to be at least a general practitioner. And so the three dimensions are this. The first dimension is about the skills. And so the skills of education or coaching football or leading a company, those are all unique to the industries. And there's a lot of, you know, industry-specific training for people to run their organizations. That's mostly about performance. That's about the skills of performance. And we don't really spend our time there because, again, that's too broad. But where that's very specific, what we know is that the second dimension and third dimension generalize. So the second dimension is about the mind. These are the issues of motivation, confidence, emotions, team cohesion, goal setting. This is really about the social and emotional and relational component of team building. And a great coach is going to have strategies to motivate and instill confidence and reign over emotions in the second dimension, just like they have strategies for execution of skills in the first dimension. It's about being intentional. That's really about the relational side. Mm. But all of that flows from that third dimension. That's the heart. That's that deeper executive center of the being that determines issues of identity, character, significance, self-worth, and value. And we know that when a leader leads well in all three dimensions, that is a framework, but that framework needs to be built on a foundation of purpose. We call it your foundational purpose statement, kind of your deeper why. But to the point you made there about the organic nature, really all I want to make the point of is that we provide a framework, but it's not an exoskeleton to box people right. in. It's more like an endoskeleton to be fleshed out. So as people take this leadership journey, it's really a journey of awakening to their own purpose, and then give them the simple framework so that they can be intentional about fulfilling it, and reminding them along the way that you're not going to fulfill it if you're not leading others in all three dimensions. Mm-hmm. So here's the practicality of how to do that.
That's good. You know, people say everything rises and falls on leadership. And I just think it's so fascinating that you could have tackled any number of problems in your community, you know, at a lower level, and tackled them head on and been very successful and, you know, maybe eliminated some problems. But you went for the big picture, and that's leadership and getting people on board, trained with a common vision and an excitement about changing their community, right?
Yes. And I would say that, you know, I can think back to a meeting we were having with some business leaders, and one of them made the comment, that the soul of our community had been damaged, which was a heavy statement. And as we processed that, you know, we started talking about what is the mountain that we need to move? You know, what is the mountain that needs to be moved in order for the future that we want as a community to emerge? And it just kind of became a consensus around the room that the mountain is the culture. And that's not to be negative on our community. I would say this is not unique to our community at all. This is prevalent throughout our land. But we live in a very transactional time. We live in a time of individualized experience and privatized. You know, even our spiritual lives are privatized, and everything is about, you know, the technology and the phones, and, you know, so we have all these connections, but they're all about this deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that begins to, when it's overly transactional, then people start, you know, getting wounded, and then that starts affecting culture. And I do believe that it all does start at the top. It does start with the leadership. The challenge you have with the community is, okay, who is the leader, right?
Identifying those.
It's not like there's a CEO of a company that you can go to, because there's a lot of leaders and they all have influence. But it was an attempt to say, you know, I think eventually what we've learned is we've got to get to that mid-level management of the city, because they lead up and down. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get the people, the movers and shakers at the top, the true stakeholders of the community, at least bought in enough to allow it to happen, even if they're going to make it happen, then it's really hard to move the needle when it comes to things like culture.
Yeah. You're still pretty young as far as a company, an organization. And, you know, this has only been, 4 years of really intentional effort. I'm curious, have you noticed any changes in your community or in that leadership group that you've identified, or even in yourself?
Yes, yes, and yes. Is the short answer. The slightly longer answer would be, I'm seeing really people that just didn't know each other getting to know each other. There's a vibe now. Hmm. You know, people come in, it's once a month, and they can't wait to see, because our meeting's different than I think a lot of other people's meetings. And so those relationships are happening. And because those relationships are strengthening, you're starting to see partnerships take place in the community. Now, we've seen some first fruits of impact. You know, we've seen an arts group down here adopt a block, and they've painted an alley and beautified a part of our city. We have other organizations that are actually using our training for onboarding, and it's now part of who they are as a company. And there's mentorship happening with new employees as they come in. There's a common language that's slowly being developed. We have some other communities now looking to us as an example, and I believe that in due time, as we get more, I guess, chapters, I don't know what we call them. We still don't really know what we are yet. You called it the Joseph Company. You mentioned our company. It's not really a company.
Right.
Our company is 3D Institute. I would say that this is more just a company in the sense of a gathering of people who are partnered in purpose. So it's a company of people. And we are new, but as other people start their own chapters, I think we will have one next year. I think in due time, we will be creating relationships with other communities and then potentially collaborating, maybe national events, things like that, as we bring people together. That's what I see.
That's awesome. Wes, if listeners want to know more about the Joseph Company, maybe to look at as a model or just to learn from, just to connect with you and follow, where can they find you online?
I would say the place to start would be 3dinstitute.com to understand really what 3D is all about and how that helps organizations in business, education, sport, and then any subsets of business. So again, nonprofit, government, see how it applies. And then if there's interest to say, you know what, this is something our community should look at, then hop over to the josephcompany.com, because that's our community's unique expression of how they're taking the 3D training and trying to infuse that into a community.
Wes, thank you so much for sharing. I think it's a beautiful example of human kindness at work. It's not just one instance, one story. This is something that is going to go throughout your entire community for generations. I really believe that. So thank you for what you're doing. My hope is that as people listen, that they have light bulbs going off and that they're inspired to stay rooted in their communities and to bring change that they want to see. So thank you for being here and sharing with us.
It was my honor and privilege. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out so that more people can be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, look for ways that human kindness is at work around you. And don't just notice, be a part of it. See you next time.